Fans, it's great to have James Feegan with us. He writes for The Athletic, and he covers the Chicago White Sox. They are in a very interesting series this weekend, as this whole American League Central is, and they're in a series in Cleveland with the Guardians as the White Sox and Guardians square off in Game 2 today. Before James comes on, let me just say Cleveland leads this division 64-55, Minnesota 62-55, and the White Sox 61-59. So, you know, I love this loss column. The White Sox are only four back. So, James, how are you today? Nice to have you with us.
I'm doing all right. The rain hasn't hit us, ruined this weekend yet, so I think things are okay.
All right. James Feegan is with us. He writes for The Athletic. He covers the White Sox. They have lost three straight, and again, from day one of spring training, everyone said the White Sox are going to win this division, and they sit 3.5 back right now, and this is a big series against the Guardians. Cleveland's up 9-5 in the season series, so these are important games for the Sox. What happened last night?
Well, I think what happened has been what's happening all year long. You had an offense that, you know, looked viable and certainly had a lot of talent and certainly had a lot of hits in the first inning, but didn't get, you know, they've been one of the worst teams at getting runners home from third with less than two outs all year. You had plenty of that. You had a lack of extra base power, you know, had two extra base hits, no home runs. You know, they struggled to get power all season. You had a worrisome injury of a core player as Eloy Jimenez left in the eighth inning after an awkward swing, and you had some strange managerial decisions with Tony Russo doing another intentional walk on a 1-2 count. This time, not to Trey Turner, but to rookie Oscar Gonzalez. So you had the full gamut of what's kind of been around and hovering around this weird White Sox season all year, the kind of things that just held them back.
It's funny, you bring up Tony La Russa. We did talk about that earlier. He walked Trey Turner to get to Muncy, and Muncy, of course, hit the home run. Last night, he's got the rookie Oscar Gonzalez up. It's a 1-2 count, and he... second and third after a double steal, and he decides to put him on and has the righty against Miller, and he gets out of it. But Tony was very adamant afterwards. He says, look, this is the way I manage, and I bring it up to you, James. He is the man. He manages the way he wants to manage. There's a lot of analytics and statistics today, but when you come right down to it, doesn't Tony La Russa still manage the way he wants to manage?
Without question. He got as much control of that in this age of front office dictated decisions as any manager in baseball. They very much signed up for his, you know, when Jerry Reinsdorf, you know, called him up to kind of bring him out of retirement, they signed up for his level of gut instinct, of feel, of experience, and drawing upon that, knowing that it wasn't going to line up with, you know, whatever dictated analytics would say at this point in time. And, you know, the reason for that is the results he's had. But at the same time, now he's got a team that was supposed to walk away at this division that's underwhelming. So the you know, credibility that he gets for his, you know, large and accomplished resume now flips to this is a team that seems like it's gotten a lot less out of what it should have with him at the helm.
He was upset last night when the young pitcher came up and in to Andrew Vaughn and hit him. And, Tony, there's no stranger to criticism when this stuff goes on. He's had battles with Dusty Baker and all sorts of people. Cueto, when he was with the Reds and all that, all throughout his career.
Yeah, like the talk, it's surreal to interview him about it last night. And it, you know, it harkens back to, like, me reading his books before he got, you know, took over as manager when he was mad about people throwing it up and into Terry Steinbach with the A's. And it was. Is exactly like that. He's saying that if you don't have command, and Trevor Stephan is not really, you know, Mitch Williams or anything up there, but he says if you don't have command, you're not allowed to throw up in it. That's basically unethical. And he kind of had the same remark last night. And he was even giving it to catcher Luke Malley when you know, who was expressing a little bit of concern for Vaughn after he got hit, saying that don't even you call for the pitch. Don't act like you care for him. Is what Tony said post game, which. Pretty eyebrow raising.
Boy, I remember you refreshed my memory. Sure, Terry Steinbach got hit. Tony picked up the bat, I think, and threw it on the backstop, didn't he? I think that's what happened then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, boy, good memory. Very good. James Feegan, good memory on Tony La Russa. Always something about him. going on. All right, so the Sox have game two today, and they turn to Johnny Cueto, who somehow, whatever he's throwing up there is working, and it's Shane Bieber for the Guardians today. This is a good matchup.
Yeah, and the one thing the White Sox can say after last night is that they've got their best two pitchers to close out this series. You know, it's surreal. Their best two pitchers are, one, Dylan Cease, the guy who throws 99, you know, the absolute, you know, this is the archetype of the new wave pitcher who's just, you know, has the most, you know, elite stuff and is able to harness it just enough to make it work and strikes out the world. And you have Johnny Cueto, the 36-year-old, who is just pure craft, guile, and command and changing up timing and speed. But these guys have been their bread and butter, their 1-2 punch, basically for the last 3 months at this point. And they have to feel pretty good about what they have going these final 2 days for, you know, a series they pretty much have to win. But at the same time, starting pitching was not their problem last night. Lance Lynn, you know, especially coming off the knee, gave him, you know, absolutely what they would want, you know, 5 2/3 with only a solo shot allowed. So it's not just starting pitching that can save them, but, you know, this is the starting pitching that's gotten them by and gotten them to this point.
You had a good matchup this week. Dylan Cease went against Verlander. Now, these are probably 1 and 2 in Cy Young considerations. I guess Ohtani is always in the middle of something. But Dylan Cease, who throws 99 against Verlander, who once pitched to contact, that was a very interesting matchup this week. I'm anxious to hear what you thought of it.
I think, you know, Cease, obviously, I want to say he's second or third in baseball in strikeout rate. Up against an Astros team that really is not going to chase, that has one of the lower strikeout rates in baseball, they really challenged him. They really made him work. They really forced a lot of adjustments from him. And, you know, it wasn't his best night command-wise. Either way, it's not like we got the best version of Dylan Cease and they still drove him out after 5 innings. But I think it probably gave him a little bit of an idea of what he needs to do this weekend against the Guardians, who also are similarly pesky and are able to foul off all of his tough sliders and stuff like that, and how he's going to be able to maybe get some out through contact. But I thought this week was a little bit of a learning experience for him about what he's going to do to need to be a very consistent pitcher who not only keeps runs off the board, gets lots of strikeouts, but goes deeper into games than he has at points this season. So he didn't quite live up to the billing, but it'll probably help him in the long run.
Boy, interesting week for the Sox. They have a team meeting, then they go out and win 5 in a row, a couple of tough games with the Astros, and again, beat 21-5. And, of course, now they're in the midst of this 3-game losing streak after a 5-game winning streak. How about that?
Well, as one of my colleagues pointed out, the media didn't find out about the team meeting until they've already run 1 5-game in a row. Since they told us about it and we're kind of saying, yeah, we fixed everything, they've lost 3 straight. So the team meetings always have a shelf life as far as their effectiveness. It's very dependent on the immediate results. And I, as much as they've kind of come out with some fire and seem motivated and obviously know how important this time of year is, the same kind of structural issues of their offense with their defense, those aren't going to go away just because they had a meeting.
Yeah, that is the problem. We saw it when they played the Giants. It's station to station. It's Abreu. Luis Robert is out now. As you say, Jimenez got hurt. They have trouble playing the game, moving runners along. I could see that when we saw them play the Giants. But still, James Feegan with us from The Athletic covers the Sox. You look at Cease and Kopech and Cueto and Lynn and Giolito, if he's okay, that's pretty good going down the stretch because, look, it is September. Tony is a veteran and knows pitching wins.
Yeah, I mean, there's no deficit or lack of games left. There's no point in the season where we could say, like, hey, have you ever been down 5 games with 20 to go where Tony's going to be like, no. That's the benefit of him having managed, you know, 35-something years, is that he's been in sort of down periods like this before. He can always say that he's come through or worked through injuries like this before. So, they can kind of always – There's a bit of a never give up, or we can get it right, that they've been able to turn to all season. But we're really getting down the stretch with 40 games left and without having seen the version of the team that everyone talked about in spring training.
Well, it's going to be interesting. That's why we love baseball. Well, you have Elvis Andrus at shortstop now. Anderson is out, and you guys picked up Andrus. So we'll see if he can do anything. But it's great to have you on. It's a pleasure. This race is one of the good ones, let's face it. There's a couple of runaways in baseball, although the Yankees, let me tell you, you got to keep your eye on Tampa Bay and Toronto. Yankees haven't won for a while, so this is a good one, and we love having you on and look forward to talking to you again. It's Cueto and Shane Bieber today and Cease and Savali. tomorrow. So that's the Sox and Cleveland. James, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.